vampires, devils, witches, and ghosts. Houses decorated with images of black cats, goblins, and carved pumpkins. Masquerading children walk the sidewalks chanting trick or treat. It's been called the scariest and the sweetest night of the year. Yes, it's time for Halloween. But have you considered why such peculiar practices are so popular? Why celebrate a holiday that emphasizes the morbid and macabre? Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we discuss Halloween, treat or trick.
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
What image comes to your mind when you think of Halloween? A satanic struggle against mankind? Or just a night of good, clean fun? Welcome to Beyond Today, where we help you understand your future. I'll be your host on the program today, and to discuss this, my guest is pastor for the United Church of God, Randy Stiver. Welcome, Randy.
Hi, Steve.
Now, when you think about Halloween, parents dress their kids as monsters, witches, ghosts, and they encourage them to approach total strangers and ask them for candy and all kinds of other treats. It's amazing that 86% of Americans decorate their homes for Halloween. Now, where did all these traditions come from? When you really look at it, how did we get to where we are today? What happened?
Well, that's a good question. And by the way, it has become the second most commercialized holiday after Christmas.
Amazing.
A huge amount of money being spent on Halloween. Over the past few years, it's kind of reached that point. It goes back into history. The history of Halloween, it is not really a pretty history at all. It goes back into very ancient paganism. Most sources don't look further back than Celtic Druid ceremonies. It was a Druid festival, and the Celts settled in Western Europe and over in the British Isles. The remnants of the Celtic language are left with the three Gaelic languages of Irish Gaelic, Welsh Gaelic, and Scottish Gaelic. So they retain a little bit of the culture, but the Celts had this ceremony, and they were celebrating the Festival of the Dead, is what they called it, around the end of October, the beginning of November, and it typically was 1 to 3 days, depending on it. For the Druid priest, it was 3 days.
So a pagan festival, one
pagan
that
festival.
Didn't believe in God, didn't know the true God, just worshipped.
Well, with the Celts,
pagan practices.
The furthest date back I found for the Celts having something similar is about 800 B.C.
Hmm.
That's a long ways back.
Right.
Now, it was not limited to the Celts, and this is very important. When the Romans conquered the bulk of the Celtic territories in Great Britain in 43 B.C., they did it under Julius Caesar, they began to add to that celebration what they did. The Romans had two festivals that were tied into the same time. One was for called Feralia, I believe is the way it's described, and that was the Night of the Dead. The same basic
similar
festival
concept,
of the dead, same kind of thing. And the other one was Pomona. Pomona was the goddess of fruit and nuts. Well, fruit at least.
Maybe.
It was a fertility goddess. The Aztecs also had a similar festival of the dead around the same time, but the Aztecs were, would appear to be a world away, which obviously mm-hmm. they weren't a world away. The Aztecs people came from somewhere in the Middle East.
But similar practices.
Similar practices.
So whether you're talking about the Romans, whether you're talking about the Celts, or whether you're talking about the Aztecs, you've got this similar, worship of the dead, the Day of the Dead, that all seemed to link itself to common Halloween practices today. What was the Celts? The Samhain?
Samhain. Samhain is the way it's pronounced. It's spelled Samhain, but you don't pronounce Gaelic by the way it's spelled with English letters. It's Samhain is the way it's said. And he was called the Lord of the Dead. Now, I must point out, in researching this, the background of it, you get into looking at some of the Wicca sites. Now, mm-hmm. Wicca is sometimes called witchcraft, and essentially that's what it is. And is it becoming, surprisingly, dauntingly a little bit, a fast-growing religion in America? But it is a resurgence of the neo-pagan movement, that is, the new paganism. And believe it or not, they're very much researching the ancient pagan practices and then making a religion out of them for today. That's what that's all about.
So new worship of false gods.
A new worship of false and ancient gods. But there isn't much change. I have, in fact, a very interesting comment with me here. It says, and this is from one of those, it's called the Neo-Pagan, one of the Neo-Pagan websites.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian church was unable to get people to stop celebrating this holiday, referring to Halloween, so they simply sprinkled a little holy water on it and gave it new names, as they did with other paleo-pagan, that means ancient pagan, holidays and customs. This was a form of calendrical imperialism co-opting paleo-pagan sacred festivals. So we find then that what Christianity has taken to be All Souls Day or All Hallows or Hallow Mass, all these various names, All Saints Day is the other one, basically is a pagan holiday with a thin, very thin Christian veneer.
So in essence, they blended or syncretized these things, blended them together
exactly.
To put a veneer of, you know, acceptability on it. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
So if you look at it, what about trick-or-treating? Is that traced back?
Yes, it does. With Halloween, during that night, it was when the state of the living and the state of the dead kind of merged in a scary way. And these spirits of the dead would come back to visit or haunt the people they didn't like, or maybe to, you know, see the people they did like. And sometimes they would inhabit animals. Black cats would be a case in point.
But not a masquerade. They took this as reality,
They
right?
took it as a reality in the pagan ceremonies. Then, of course, as it proceeded, people then began to act out what it was that the druids were telling them, and so they put on their costumes and things. And your trick-or-treating is, you know, you give me something, and I'll leave you alone.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially what the spirits of the dead were in essence saying to them before.
The spirits would leave them alone if they
got something out of it. Then, so they left food out for the spirits.
Hmm.
So then pretty soon the young people would go out and they would dress up as the spirits in ragamuffin clothing, and then they would want to be given a treat in exchange for not vandalizing the property.
So you can see skeletons, that would be dead, the witches, the goblins, all of those things seem to coincide
with
all of those. So there is a spiritual aspect of Halloween
phenomenally.
That maybe we miss it today.
A very, very dark spiritual aspect. People laugh at it. You know, the jack-o'-lantern it's actually one of the laughable tidbits of it. There was supposedly an Irishman named Jack who tricked, the devil came down to Ireland. He didn't go to Georgia. He came to Ireland, and Jack tricked him into climbing a tree while the devil was up the tree, carved a cross on the bottom, and then the devil couldn't come down. That's, of course, superstition. And then the devil was angry with him, and when Jack died, he couldn't go to heaven because he'd been bad, and he couldn't go to hell because he tricked the devil. So he had to stay in limbo in between. So the devil gave him one consolation, an ember of the fire of hell to light his way through the frigid darkness. So he carried it to keep it alive. He carried it in a hollowed-out turnip.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the Irish immigrated to the United States, they must have eaten their turnips because they found pumpkins, so they hollowed out pumpkins, and that's where we get the jack-o'-lantern concept, named after this guy named Jack.
So we traded turnips for pumpkins here in America.
But the face of a skull, and skulls were popular.
Right, back to the dead again.
And
the masquerading, the costumes today, they translate very similarly to what they did back then.
And the traditions say, and the history say, that the druid priest would actually wear the heads of animals over their heads, you know, these scary witch doctor kind of costumes and that sort of thing. But it all dealt with the spirits of the dead was the theme of it all.
And it all goes back to false worship, wrong way of worshiping. In fact, you need to know more about this. We've got a nice little booklet that you need to order. It's called Holidays or Holy Days. Does it really matter which ones we keep? Does that matter? This booklet will help you really see the truth. In fact, we're going to talk about it. Do you think the traditions of Halloween seem more associated with God or Satan? Stay tuned and we'll discuss it.
Who did it to you? When we were babies, we didn't know anything about Christmas or Easter or Halloween when our parents dragged us into the night dressed like Satan, a witch, or a Hollywood Disney character. More than getting candy from strangers, you need to read about how all our popular holidays influence our minds from babies to adults. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Holidays or Holy Days, Does It Matter What We Keep? Jesus wasn't born in December. His apostles never kept Christmas and never celebrated Easter. To understand, call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Holidays or Holy Days. Does it matter what days we keep?
We've been discussing Halloween, treat or trick. In fact, what days should you be keeping? We have a booklet that will help you see the truth of your Bible. It's called Holidays or Holy Days. Does it really matter which days you keep? And it does really matter. You need this booklet, so go beyondtoday.tv. Go right on the web there and get this booklet. You need it. It'll be really helpful for you. In fact, discussing Halloween, we've seen that Halloween traditions have grown out of superstition, out of false pagan practices, out of the fear of the dead. In fact, as we've been talking about it, the dead seem to play such a vital role in where traditional Halloween practices has come from.
That's right.
In fact, some people may today even wonder, well, should I be afraid of the dead?
Well, no, not dead people. I mean, when you're dead, and you're not a problem to anybody after that.
Now that's a biblical thing, even though that sounds funny.
Yeah,
that's a biblical thing, isn't it?
That's true. Exactly, it is. We all die. And the Bible teaches that when you're dead, there's an old saying, you're just like Rover, you're dead all over.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have any consciousness. What I'm saying is, there is no immortal soul. Now, that's a shocking statement.
That is
going to
be hard to believe for some viewers.
That's a keystone doctrine in traditional Christianity. It is not something that's in modern Christianity came up with. This goes back to about 200, 300 BC, or AD rather, after Christ. And they adopted the pagan doctrine of the immortality of the soul from Plato and other Greek philosophers. It isn't in the Bible at all.
But the Bible is more specific when it comes to the dead.
Exactly.
What is the state of
well,
the dead?
It compares them in Ecclesiastes, written by King Solomon. It compares the dead humans to dead animals. They both die. We have something in common with animals. We both die, and we go back to the earth from which we came. We are dust, and we go return to the dust. Then further it says, in chapter 2 later, it talks about, or Solomon wrote about, how the dead know nothing. They don't have a consciousness. They know nothing. And then in the famous scripture, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Mm-hmm. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom, nothing, not a zilch, in the grave where you're going.
So the Bible's plain, straight out. It tells you exactly the state of the dead. They know nothing. They're dead, and they're awaiting a resurrection.
That's right.
They're looking
to
the future in that sense.
One more layer to put on it, Steve, is, you know, we've all sinned. The only person that didn't sin was Jesus Christ, so everybody else has. And you go to the scriptures, in this case it's in the book of Ezekiel, it says, the soul that sins, it shall die. Now, an immortal soul can't die, according to the philosophy of immortality of the soul.
Right.
But there is no theology from the Bible of the immortality of the soul, so it doesn't exist. It isn't there.
And that would probably bring questions to people's minds.
Oh, well, yes.
What is, because the Bible talks about a soul. Some translations use that word. Well, what is a soul then, if that's the case?
Well, a soul is what we are. We're just a being. When God created Adam in the second chapter of Genesis, he created Adam and he became a living being. And the Hebrew word, or became a soul, the old King James says a soul, the modern translation a living being, because that is essentially the meaning of the Hebrew word that's being translated there, and that word is nephesh.
Genesis 2:7.
And then nephesh is used throughout the Old Testament being written in Hebrew for a living being. Sometimes it's used for humans, sometimes it's actually used for animals, but a person that lives. Thus, we are souls, we don't have souls.
Okay, so they're not separate entities.
No, not at all.
You are a nephesh, you are a soul, or an animal, like you said, could be a soul.
Exactly.
Is that a fair way to say it?
That's phenomenally radical from the human perspective for most people today, because, you know, they have these fond feelings or memories. Well, you know, my grandmother's watching me play football because she's in heaven and she can see me now. And no, the answer, no, she's not.
Isn't it like Genesis 3:19 that talks about the fact souls die?
Yeah.
And if souls die, well, it must indicate that
exactly.
A soul is a man.
Exactly.
What comprises
scripture
the
after scripture points that out. So when they talk about the spirits of the dead coming back to visit the living, well, the living exist, but the spirits of the dead don't exist.
Yeah, so the Halloween practices, that's really just a plain false belief about human beings coming back and skeletons and all that sort of thing.
The immortality of the soul in some form basically seemed to pervade all of the pagan cultures, all of the idolatrous pagan cultures. It wasn't the truth of God, so it came from someplace. It didn't come from God, it came from Satan. He has used it as a deception for mankind, thinking they have an immortal soul and that they're going to suffer if they're bad in torments and agony and hellfire forever and ever, which isn't the case. There is a hellfire, but you don't live there.
Yeah, and so in a sense you're saying the Halloween promotes the false belief in
exactly.
The soul. Halloween shows all that. But at the same time, there's also this demonic side of things, spiritual side of things.
Yes.
What about that aspect
of
Halloween?
So the spirits that come back to haunt the people aren't the spirits of their dead relatives. They're demonic spirits.
So they're not crossing over.
Oh, no.
Nothing like that.
You're
at
dealing
all.
With something that's far more dangerous and far more deadly. You're dealing with evil itself. Because Satan and the fallen angels, Lucifer, Satan was an angel before he rebelled against God's leadership and chose to be the demon that he is, and the archdemon, the king of the demons. But then there were other angels who were subordinate to him, a third of the total number, according to the scriptures, that rebelled as well. They became demonic spirits. And they sometimes possess people and make them incurably crazy. Jesus cast demons out and cured those kinds of crazy, really full-blown craziness or mental illness to the max many times in his time. Not all mental illness is that, but that is one of the worst kinds to have.
In a sense, you're saying that Satan and the demons, a real spirit world, this real battle for wickedness that he's out to convert the world to his false ways, is really the power behind these false Halloween practices.
Exactly. It is a festival to Samhain. Samhain is the Lord of the Dead. Now, the neo-pagan Wicca movement websites try to whitewash it and make it clean and light and savory, and they say that that's not true. But in fact, it is. When you read the histories, it is. Samhain is the Lord of the Dead. It's probably another name for Satan. And then you're dealing with demonic powers. It is Satan worship. The original Halloween format is Satan worship.
So we're really talking about a perversion of the true gospel, aren't we?
Uh-huh.
What God's plan really is.
That's exactly right.
He's turned it all around, and he's the one that wants to deceive, and he wants to be worshipped.
That's right. That's right. God has his own festivals. Halloween isn't one of them, not by a long shot.
Mm-hmm. But so what are we teaching then? What are Halloween traditions teaching about the nature of Satan in that sense?
Well, it's teaching the nature of Satan is deceptive. It's teaching that vandalism and doing evil for gain is good. Remember, the three themes of pagan religions are sex, because ritualistic adultery was part and parcel of virtually all pagan cultures, and violence. Human sacrifice permeated many pagan cultures, and then, of course, there was the violence that they advocated, like religions tend to do. And then greed, in order to gain power or gain wealth. And the Halloween celebrations are all about that, and teaching that is the way to live, to masquerade and to be portray yourself as a demonic spirit or a witch that is, supposedly demonic in some way, or anything. That's teaching falsehood to children.
Mm-hmm. They're making fun out of evil.
Yes, mocking at sin.
It's not a godly holiday in that sense. In fact, we've got a booklet that will help you out. It'll help you understand Halloween. It's got a special section all about Halloween, details that we're not able to discuss fully here. We hope you'll order it. BeyondToday.tv is a website. You can access that immediately. So we hope you'll get on and take a look at this booklet. It's a special one that you need to get. In fact, so many people seem to trivialize Halloween. Is it right to trivialize evil? Stay tuned.
Who did it to you? When we were babies, we didn't know anything about Christmas or Easter or Halloween more than getting candy from strangers. You need to read about how all our popular holidays influence our minds from babies to adults. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Holidays or Holy Days. Doesn't matter what days we keep. Every family needs a steady diet of good news, so get yours with your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. You'll regularly read about how to apply principles of family success that always work, raise happy children, enhance and solve problems in your relationship, and move ahead by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv for the good news. Help your family succeed.
When you order our free literature, you'll also receive a subscription to the Good News Magazine. Now, this is a magazine of understanding, one that will help you not only understand Halloween, holidays of this world, but also understand things that are going on prophetically in the world, things that will help you even in your daily life. So we hope you'll go online to beyondtoday.tv, order the literature, get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. You'll be glad that you did. In fact, we've been talking about the holiday Halloween, and we've seen over and over again how its traditions are associated with the occult, false pagan worship. Over and over and over again, we see the connections that have carried through even to today. And so it's amazing to think that's exactly where it came from. But I think the question that at least most people with is the question, so what?
So
like,
what?
Like, yeah. What's the big deal? Okay, I understand that comes from paganism, but you see, I'm just having fun. This is just a, you know, no, I'm not hurting anyone. And it's kind of a fun time for the kids. Why would we want to take that away from the kids? So I guess it comes down to, does it really make a difference whether we keep this day or not?
That's a great question, because, and you're dead right that, pardon the reference, but
we have to be careful about
that. There are many viewers who are not necessarily readers of the Bible. Maybe they don't even believe God exists or that Satan exists, you know, the occult at all. And so what difference does it make? Well, there is evil. There is good, and there is evil.
It's real. There's the reality of evil.
Exactly right. Evil does exist. And Halloween is a festival that is designed to pay homage to evil.
And evil spirits, for that matter, as well.
Exactly. The king of evil, the god of evil. Satan is described as the god of this world, or the ruler of this world. And he's the dark ruler. He's not the ruler of light. He's not the ruler of goodness and happiness, fairness and equity, or anything like that.
That's coming later.
That comes later when Christ returns. Mm-hmm. But right now, holds sway. Now, God does not want us to be a part of that falsehood in that. And he doesn't want us to teach our children that falsehood, to teach them a pack of lies, to dress them up and make them think that paying homage to evil is fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun. It's bad. The pagan religions of the ancient world are terrible. The neo-pagan movement is badly, horribly misguided.
And when the church inculcated those beliefs with what they believe, when they put them together and blended truth with error,
it was worse yet, because it made greater confusion. Exactly right.
And so I suppose some people would say, yeah, but it's just one time a year, a little fortune teller here, a little goblin over here.
Okay.
Once a year, isn't that just kind of innocent fun?
All right. For those who do read the Bible, there are a couple of points they need to carefully understand. This is from the book of Leviticus. Now, that's Old Testament. Moses was the one God used to write it. He said this, "Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them or be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Now, mediums and familiar spirits and seeking after them, that's Halloween. So basically what we see here is we see the celebrations, the events of Halloween, even in the sort of commercialized, plasticized, modern version, we see those things that God condemns. Don't do any of that.
I think one of the difficulties sometimes maybe churches even face is the fact they say, well, we could take Halloween and we could witness for Christ on Halloween.
Right, right. And take a jack-o'-lantern and carve the name Jesus in it,
right,
as an evangelistic tool.
Yes.
Well, that's, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a metaphor that does justice to the inanity of that. With all due respects, it is a very foolish idea to put anything that smacks of the true God into such a pagan milieu and then claim it as is commonly used the phrase, a trophy for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
To do that, and that's how Halloween was done by, you know, early Christianity, not early Christianity, medium Christianity going back. They claimed Halloween in the 600s. They wrapped it with Christian veneer and then, you know, brought it into practice in the Christian world. And what that ended up doing is establishing a false holiday, false teaching, and created a vast harvest of confusion for those who follow it.
And all built on the wrong foundation.
Wrong foundation.
And didn't God tell the people when Israel came into the land, to the promised land, what did he tell them? Did he tell them, well, take in what everybody else is doing and make it a part of worshiping me?
And that's a good point, because that's in Deuteronomy. No, he said, do not go and look at the peoples who lived here and say, well, how did they worship their gods? Mm-hmm. I'll do the same thing. He says, don't do that. He says, do not take away from what I've given you and do not add to it. You worship me in the way that I say. God created us. He gets to make the rules. And he did make the rules.
All right, now we get to God's rules. Since he isn't a part of Halloween, it's unacceptable. Did God give days that show the way to truth?
Right. If you don't keep Halloween and you don't keep any of the other wrong holidays that are non-biblical, which our booklet explains, you're not losing out on true fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has an entire set. For starters, there is a weekly Sabbath. And the Sabbath in God's book is a day of rest and family time and worship. It's a wonderful day. But then there are annual days, too, that come in the spring. There is a day that is kind of somber, but it is profound. That is the Passover, commemorating the death of Christ, followed by a more joyful but still profound festival called the Festival of Unleavened Bread, where you literally take out the leavened bread and leavening agents, which are used in this as an object lesson for sin, get rid of the sin in your life, and become unleavened,
so
solid.
So God's designed days that show his plan.
Profound meaning.
That you know, deep spiritual meaning.
And there's another one in the spring, but then you get into the fall, we have four festivals, the first being the Feast of Trumpets, the return of Christ. The second is the Day of Atonement, the removal of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's comeuppance for Halloween. Then there is a Feast of Tabernacles that comes a little later, which pictures the time that Christ will rule the earth for 1,000 years on the way to forever together, and the outplaying of the rest of his plan, and that's all wrapped up into his annual festivals. Marvelous system. You don't need Halloween.
And so God has right days, holy days that you need to be keeping. Order our booklet because God tells us very plainly, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We hope you'll stay tuned as we wrap things up.
Who did it to you? When we were babies, we didn't know anything about Christmas or Easter or Halloween. More than getting candy from strangers, you need to read about how all our popular holidays influence our minds from babies to adults. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Holidays or Holy Days. Doesn't matter what days we keep.
Halloween is not a godly holiday. It's rooted in false religion, promotes evil, minimizes wickedness, and is unchristian. It's dedicated to the spirits who oppose God. God's words are clear. He tells us, what partnership can righteousness have with wickedness? Can light associate with darkness? Can Christ agree with the devil? Obviously, the answer is no. What we need to do is to learn about the days and the ways that are pleasing to God. Thank you, Randy, for joining me today.
Pleasure indeed.
When you want to understand your future, we hope you'll remember this program and look beyond today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.